This morning, if you would open them up to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. No? You know, the Bible says that, you know, the Word of God declares to us it's only believed that all things are possible to him that believes. Amen. And God wants to get some things in our heart and our lives today. To remind each and every one of us how valuable and how special we truly are. And God wants you and I to understand that we're chosen, that we're royal, that we're holy. You know, the Bible says that we're peculiar. You know, and that word peculiar, if you study that word out, that word peculiar means special. That God only created one of you. There's only, you're one of a kind. There's no two alike. You know, I look at my twin sisters, Barbara and Judy, even though their DNA is so close, and even though they kind of look alike, they're total opposite of one another. They're nothing alike. You know, matter of fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse number 6, the Word of God says this. He says, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God have chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." Amen. God wants you to understand how valuable you are. And 1 Peter 2:9, he says, you're a chosen generation, you're a royal priesthood, you're a holy nation, you're a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So the title of this morning's message is One of a Kind. You are one of a kind. And we're going to look at, we are unique, we are unusual, and we are united. Amen? So can we all just lift the word together and make a declaration so we can just get in the place of agreement, you know? You know? Repeat after me, say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, speak to me, your servant. My ears are open and my heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word, and we know that you sent your word here to accomplish something in every heart and every life of each and every one of us that have gathered here today. So, Father, I pray, Father God, that you speak through me today, Father God. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer that's gathered here in the sanctuary and in the website and the airwaves, Father God. So, Lord, we just say thank you, Father God, for what you're going to do in each and every one of our hearts and lives today. And we'll never cease to give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, so first off, we're going to say you're unique, you know. You stand out, amen. And God wants you and I to know, understand that, first and foremost, that you've been chosen by him. You know, part of your uniqueness that makes you special is God chose you. And in John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus says this. He says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, or I have anointed you, or I placed my hand upon you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. You know, I'm thankful that we're a special people because of Christ Jesus, that we can come right to the throne room of grace. Amen. The veil has been torn from top to bottom, and we can come into the very presence of God. Amen. You know, so many times when we gather together, we're seeking to usher in His presence in our praise, in our worship, and allow the heaven to fill earth and the heaven to fill the sanctuary. And God wants you to understand that He's given us an open heaven through Jesus Christ, and that He's given you special authority to come right into His very presence. Amen. And God wants us to recognize who we are. He says in Exodus chapter 19, when He's speaking to the children of Israel, He gave them instructions. When He came from Mount Sinai, He said, verse number 5, "Now therefore, if you will obey My voice indeed and keep My covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto Me above all people, for all the earth is Mine. And ye shall be a kingdom unto Me, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." And God says to you and I, just as Moses was to speak to the children of Israel, He says to you and I, you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people. Don't you think we should show forth some praises of Him, to Him that's called us out of darkness and to His marvelous light? I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I know what God brought me out of. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock today. He put a song in my heart to stay, a song of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody else happy in the room? Amen. Anybody else rejoicing in the room? Anybody else celebrating of who you are in Christ Jesus? I don't think we even have revelation for our revelation and understanding of who we are. The Word of God declares to you and I in Ephesians that every name named in heaven and earth must bow to the name of Jesus. And He's given you and I that authority and His name. Amen. God wants you to recognize how special you are. Look to the one next to you and say, "You're so special. You're special to Me. You're special to Him. And you're special to others too." That makes you pretty special, doesn't it? Amen. You know, all the way through this life in this world that we're living in, the world itself and the things in this world are trying always to steal your value and your worth. And God wants you to understand how much great value you have and how dear you are to Him and how dear you are to others and that you're special. Matter of fact, in Titus chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to his student, Titus, he says in verse 13 of Titus 2, he says, "Hey, looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people," special, "zealous of good works." Now, James says, "You show me your faith, and I'll show you My works, because faith without works is dead being alone." Amen? Amen? So we're putting action to the Word. Then he says to his student, he said, "These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." So first thing the Lord says is, hey, we're unique. Again, look at the one next to you and say, "You're so special." You know, again, the world is always trying to steal value and worth, and they're degrading everything of the kingdom of God. And value comes when we honor the Lord. When we honor the Lord and honor God's word, blessings flow. Blessings flow. I love it. But he also says that we're also unusual. And some of us are a little more unusual than others. But if you look at the word unusual, one of the definitions of the word unusual is remarkable. Hello? Amen. So when I'm speaking this word, God is not only saying about you that you're special, but you're also so unusual, you're remarkable. Amen. I think what the Lord wants to get in our hearts today, God wants you to be the best of you you can be, not the best of someone else. And we go through life trying to copy and be like someone else, and we never get revelation of who we are. God says, I created you special, and I created you remarkable. Just the way I created you, that's who I want you to be. Amen. I don't know about you, but that gets me pretty excited because I'm a little different than some others. Are you a little different than some others? That's what makes you special. That's what makes you remarkable. Okay. So look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Was I supposed to preach this softly? I don't know. Well, I guess one of the reasons, I'm going to justify my loud voice. One of the reasons which I preach loud is the Word of God says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Hello? We're looking to raise up in this place. Hallelujah. That wasn't spiritual. That was Carl. Let me take that back. The Holy Ghost, let me just straighten this out. The Holy Spirit did not say that. Your Pastor Carl said that. All right? I'm not saying, thus saith the Lord, okay? Thus saith Carl, and the Lord says, stop it, okay? So, you know, it's kind of funny as walking with the Lord and being his children and the closer you get to him, the deeper you get in the word of God, the less you get by with things. All right? It used to take him a long time to convict me, but now conviction comes quickly, you know? And so he's just telling all of us that we're studying to show ourselves approved workmen that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And Jesus sent his word to bring truth to our lives today, just so we have revelation and understanding that we are very special and that we're remarkable. And the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 7, he reminds us, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Amen. So my special, my uniqueness is the way that the Lord created me, okay? It's the way you were created, amen? And you're remarkable. You're remarkable when we react the right way and when we follow the word of God. Because, you know, the world does things this way, but God does them this way, you know? His ways are contrary to the world. And with the mindset, if you do it according to the word of God, in the natural thinking, it will never be overcome or accomplished, but in the spiritual thinking, everything is changed and transformed by the power of God. Amen? Are you with me? Amen. You know, and he's also reminded me, even in the special gifts. Now, everyone has natural talents in the room. You know, some have greater talents than others. He wherever your vocation is and the things where you work, where you have your abilities and your diplomas and you're a doctor, a lawyer, or a mechanic, or whatever your occupation is, that's some gifts that you have God. That's your natural abilities that God's given you. But also he hands out spiritual gifts to each and every one of us, and these aren't according to our natural ability. Usually he goes opposite of them. And Romans chapter 12, verse number 6, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Amen? In other words, if you're not believing, you said, well, the Lord's given you a word for someone, and you don't believe what you're speaking, shut up and don't speak it. You know? In other words, we're prophesying as the faith we believe. If I hear from the Lord says something to you, and I'm going to give you a word of encouragement, or I'm going to give you a word to build you up or comfort you, amen, I'm going to believe what God is saying, amen. I believe it's going to accomplish what he sent it to do, amen. And he's saying to us, even though we're special, even though we're remarkable, that we're unusual, let's recognize and let's not take the glory. It's all about him, amen. One thing about the Father, he's a jealous God. He doesn't share his glory with anyone. Amen? So what am I saying here in Colossians chapter 1? If I confused everybody all of a sudden. Everybody with me? About Christ in Colossians 1:15, he says, Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And here's where I'm going. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether it be things in earth or things in heaven. So one of the things the Lord is speaking to my heart about as a chosen generation, as a royal priesthood, as a holy nation, as a peculiar people, that we are unique. Amen. That we are special, that we're unusual, which makes us remarkable, because we act in the remarkable when we do things that are outside of our capability. Amen. That's when the remarkable takes place. Amen. And that's when our trust from God really takes place. And we're saying, hey, Lord, here I am, a vessel for your glory. Here I am, a vessel for your honor. Here I am, a vessel for your praise. Work through me to minister love to someone else. Amen. You know, one thing about the body of Christ, we're to edify itself in love. We're to build one another up. And God wanted you to understand today how special you are. Amen. And how special you are. And that you're unusual and you're unique. And what really brings it all together is when we have so many differences of personalities, when we're all special, we're all remarkable, God does the supernatural and he brings us together and unites us as one. Wait a minute. When I was a hippie, I only hung around with hippies. Hello? Hello? Wherever you're back, you had a certain people that you hung around with. We were kind of going in the same direction or whatever, even though most of the time it was the wrong direction. Amen? But when God gave us a turnaround, he's bringing all these unique personalities and all these backgrounds, and he's bringing them all together, united in one. I'm telling you something. That's the Holy Spirit and that's God. Because a natural man can't do that. That doesn't take place in the natural. It only takes place in the spiritual. Amen. And God wants you to understand how valuable and how important everyone is, and that he's called you together in unity, and it's done by the Holy Spirit. So the third point I want to make is we are united. I love Psalms 133. Where the psalmist writes this, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head, that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down into the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing and life evermore. Amen. And God says the oil, the anointing, the Spirit of God is what connects us together. Even though we're special or we're unique, even though we're unusual and remarkable, God brings us together. Amen. And unites us together. You know, and that's what really excites me about the kingdom of God. And there's different nations and tongues and peoples, and God just orchestrates something and supernaturally weaves us together by the Spirit of God. Amen. And he said, just know that as that oil flowed down from the head, down to the beard, Aaron was a priest, and down the shoulder to the skirts, there was a blessing that flowed with it. And there's a blessing that's flowing through us according to God's word. Amen. And so he says to you and I, and also in Ephesians chapter 4. Turn me to Ephesians chapter 4. We're talking about being united. United together. United we stand, divided we fall, right? The Apostle Paul is teaching and preaching on what's uniting us together. How many children of God do we have in the room? Let me see your hand. Everybody's a child of God. Let me see your hand. If you're a child of God, let me see your hand. Now, if you're a child of God, which you've declared, we all have the same spirit. Every last one has the Holy Spirit in this room. Amen? The Holy Spirit's our uniter. That's the one that's bringing us together. That's our connector. Amen? It's you know, something. It's not like I act or it's not my personality. It's his presence. It's about him. So the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. How many know that because of our unique personalities, because we're a little bit different, that sometimes it's going to take an endeavor to keep the unity. Amen? Amen? Sometimes if we allow it to be about personalities, sometimes personalities will clash. But we have to recognize that greater is he that is in me than he that in the world. So it's the Spirit that's bringing the unity. There is one body, one Spirit, even you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And I love it where he says, and you can move on down, he says that we're to continue. He says, verse 13, till we all come into unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So what he is saying to you and I today is simply this in closing today. He is saying that, hey, that you're unique. That each and every one of us are very special. We're special to him, and we should be special to one another. That each and every one of us are unusual, and we're remarkable in our own ways. Amen? And that everybody has something special that each and every one of us need. I think if we get a revelation that as much as we need Jesus, we need each other, because God never gave anyone everything, but he gave everyone something. And you have something I need. 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 God wants you to understand, we're looking for God in the fullest, and one of the things that we're missing is the fullness may be sitting right beside us, and we're not plugging into what's with us because their personality is a little different, because they look a little different, because they act a little different than I do. He says, that's the old man. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. You know, God isn't in these last days. This thing has to be broken. It has to be broken because God's brought us together and united us as one. Amen. And he wants you and I to recognize and realize how valuable and how important every last one is. So in closing today, the apostle, this is for our understanding. You know, in Proverbs 4:7, Solomon said this. He said, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. Amen. If nothing else, God wants you today to get revelation of who you are in Christ Jesus and how valuable you are. And he says in Ephesians 1, verse number 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So today, what is the Lord saying to you and I? It's simply this, that you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people. That you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And if you haven't stepped out of darkness into the marvelous light, then he says in verse number 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You know, I love that song, Mercy Says No. He doesn't want to let any of us go. He doesn't want to let any of us slip away. Life and death are standing face to face, and nothing will take his grace away. His mercy is saying, no. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, I thank you.